It's always good to have them. It's always good for them to visit. But it was just a little more special this time because they brought back my wife with them. And, Sister Wells had a wonderful time in Florida. I was able to attend ladies' conference there in Florida and spend some time with family in the area. And then they made tracks here and got here yesterday morning early. And won't be with us too long, but we'll cherish the moments we have with them. And we always look forward to their visit. I was thinking this morning as I was playing the drums, and just at times I'll kind of survey the congregation, and I know he probably doesn't like for me to do this, but I noticed my father-in-law and how just unabashedly he worshiped. Just lifted his hands and lifted his voice, and I thought to myself, God, we are so fortunate to have a patriarch in the family, someone that is a leader like that, someone that we can look to for guidance and help, someone that I know for a fact is a praying man, is a God-fearing man, loves to worship. He loves the things of God. He loves the people of God. And I'm thankful that God saw fit to bring Craig Abney into this family. And I have opportunity to be a part of it. I want him to come right now and greet this congregation and take his liberty. And if he just takes off preaching, well, then we'll just let him preach and have a good time with the Lord. But Pophams, come greet this congregation. Why don't you welcome him with a hand clap?
Oh, I don't know how to follow that. That's too much. We do. We really love coming up here and visiting all of you here. You know, we're so blessed that they have such a great congregation, a great church to pastor. And we thank you. That was a privilege for her to come down and spend a little time with us and able to spoil her a little bit, you know, and bring her back. Come up here for birthday for Austin, and had a great birthday yesterday for him. And it's always a pleasure to come up here and see your grandkids and visit all of you here. And it's so wonderful. Isn't there a wonderful spirit of the Lord here tonight? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'd love to come up and hear my son-in-law preach. He's a great preacher, isn't he? It's always a pleasure to hear him preach. And it's so wonderful. And to some of it, I'll just leave. I'll bring one thing to you that's it's been on my heart and burdened with recently with my wife and myself. And just looking at the spirit of the Antichrist that's in the world today. And there's no greater time for us to be tight together as a body of Christ with one another, because the spirit is trying to break us up. It's trying to do things to us and tear us down. And I don't know how much time do we have, and we got to be solid in the Bible. We need to read this thing, study it, and break it out again, and look it again, and read it again, and study it, and pray, and fast, because we better know what we believe and know what this Word of God says, because there's a lot of deception in this world today, you know. And you just see, you know, I guess it's okay to bring it up, but the Muslims and Islam, and we've been studying it because, you know, it will touch people close to you. You don't think it will, but it will. It will touch somebody close to you. So don't underestimate the spirit of the Antichrist. They're definitely active in our world today, and you need to know what it says, because they believe in one God also, and they're also looking for Jesus to come back. So you need to know what the difference is between the two and be solid and grounded in the Word of God, because it's never, don't take anything from it. Some people like to take pieces and parts of it away, just like mortar and the foundation of a building. If you take the rebar out, it's going to break. If you take the wire out of it, it's going to break up. If you take the mortar out of it, it's going to fall. You got to have it all of the Word from the cover to cover. Do not let any of it come out. And I know a great revival is coming. And I know this morning when during the worship and stuff, it came to my mind that it's like that small cloud in Elijah when he sent his servant out seven times to look for the cloud to come. And then the rain's coming, the cloud's coming, and a great revival is coming to this church. Hallelujah. So be ready for it. Hallelujah. Be grounded. Yeah. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, we need to start looking with some expectation in our hearts. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You wouldn't mind standing and grabbing your Bibles. Good to see some new faces in the house of the Lord this morning. Some great feedback from those that were here in service with us. And keep praying. Keep believing. Keep trusting. God knows what He's doing. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter number 33. Exodus chapter 33. Moses said unto the Lord, verse number 12, Exodus chapter 33. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. He said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Moses is reminding the Lord of what the Lord has said to him. Moses, and this is, it's interesting when we understand what prayer is, what communication is with God. It's not a one-way thing. It's not just me speaking. I need to learn how to have dialogue with God. I need to learn to let God speak to my heart. It's all right to remind God of His promises. He knows them. But it helps me. Many times it helps me deal with the current situation at hand when I remind not only God, but I'm really reminding myself, Lord, this is what You said. This is what's in Your Word. Verse number 15, and Moses said unto him, Moses saying unto God, here's his response, if thy presence go not with me, carry us up not hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Draw your attention back to verse number 15. Moses in his conversation with God says unto God, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up thence. Can I put it in our terms? He said, God, if you're not going with us, we ain't going at all. If your presence is not with us, carry us not up from hence. Don't let us leave this place. I don't want to go anywhere that is without you. I want to preach to you upon this subject. I will not go without God. I will not go without God. Can we pray? Dear Jesus, we love you. Huh. How wonderful you are, God. What a sweet presence, God, that is in this place this evening. God, we thank you that you visit us. God, that your presence is here. Help to restore, to renew, God, whatever anybody has need of, God, they can find in your presence here tonight. Lord, I pray that you would open the heart and the mind to receive your word, God, that we would realize that without you we can do nothing, God. Lord, we need you. Oh, how we need you, God, in everything that we do, God. And we have purpose in our heart and our lives that we will not go without you. We will not go forward, God, unless you say go. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. We give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do in your name that is above every name. In the only saving name of Jesus Christ, we ask it and believe it to be done. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. I will not go without God. Have you ever left something important behind? Have you ever started on a trip only to realize that something essential to the trip was not with you? I don't know about you, but I've been in the checkout line before. All my items up on the little belt. Next in line. Tap my pocket where my wallet usually is. And realize my wallet is not with me. Have you ever gone to a door? Realize that the only way to enter that door is if you have a key. And you don't have that key. You don't have the wherewithal to open that door. Have you ever thought about contacting somebody? I need to make a phone call. I need to get in touch with somebody. And then at that moment you realize I do not have my phone. I've left it behind. It's important. In 1975, a financial services company called American Express launched a highly successful ad campaign. So successful, in fact, that its tagline is still known to this day. The tagline was concerning at first, it was concerning their traveler's checks. And initially, that's what the tagline was about. And then it kind of matriculated into a tagline about their credit card. Wherein the tagline expressed the importance of having their product. The tagline that many of us know today is simply this: don't leave home without it. They stress the importance of this, having this thing. Don't go anywhere without it. You need to have it with you at all times. You never know when a financial emergency is going to hit and you're going to need something. Especially if you travel abroad and you're out and about somewhere. You need to have these things. Don't leave home without it. When I had the opportunity to travel abroad, while I could have made the trip without a lot of stuff that I had packed, there were a few things that were absolutely essential to my trip. And so I checked and rechecked and made sure I had my passport and I had my ID and I had the documentation that I needed, the tickets and the boarding passes. And I wanted to make sure that I was going to be able to go and make this trip successful and not be detained anywhere. So I checked and rechecked and I made sure I had the important things because I didn't want to start out. I didn't want to go if I didn't have them, and I wouldn't be able to go if I didn't have them. See, our text finds the people of God starting out on a trip, if you will. They have come out of Egypt, the great exodus from Egypt with a mighty hand. God has brought them out. God has humiliated and subdued the most powerful nation in the world at that time. And God brings His people out. And now God has called Moses up to the top of Mount Sinai to give him direction, what we commonly call the Ten Commandments, and dealing with the people. And while Moses is away, the people begin to make a mess of things. Well, Moses is on the mountain receiving word from God. God speaks to Moses and said, Moses, you got to get down. The people are messing up. The Bible says that God becomes angry and says, Moses, you got to go down and handle the situation because the people are messing up. They're making a big mistake. And Moses makes his way down the mountain to see the people are worshiping a golden calf. They're dancing around in nakedness. They're committing all types of atrocities. And when asked how it happened, Aaron simply says, well, they said they needed a god to worship, something to worship that brought them out of Egypt. And so they brought unto me their ornaments and their jewels. And I threw it into the fire and out came this golden calf. Bible says that Moses was so angry that he took the golden calf and he ground it into powder and he put it in water and he made the children of Israel drink the water. He was upset. He was mad. Not only was Moses mad, the Bible lets us know that God was pretty upset. Matter of fact, God, in his dialogue with Moses, in his conversation, Moses says, listen, people, you've messed up so bad, I got to go back to God. Peradventure that I will be able to make atonement for your sin. Let's hope. Let's hope that I'll be able to intervene in this situation because you've really messed things up. You started this thing out in a wrong way. So Moses goes back up to the mountain and God begins to talk with him and God decides that he will not go with the people of Israel. He says, I will not go with them, Moses. I'm not going to go. I'm removing myself from them because they're a stiff-necked people. Read it. It's there prior to the text wherein we read.
Moses pleading with God. Moses interceding on behalf of the people. Moses goes as far to say, listen, Lord, if you're going to blot them out, blot me out as well. Take me out of that book that you have written. Lord, take my name out. Lord, you need to remember the promises you made to the forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And if you leave this people and you don't go with this people, then all the nations of the world will be able to scorn, and they will be able to mock, and they will be able to ridicule and say that your people are no people at all. So Moses pleads and intercedes on behalf of the people. And then we find what he says in verse number 15 of our text. And Moses pleading with God says this, if thy presence go not with me, then carry us not up hence. In other words, I'm not going. I know you said you'd send an angel and you'd drive out all the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hittites. And I know you said you'd send an angel into the promised land and help us. But Lord, I'm not really concerned with just having an angel. I mean, that's all well and good and all, but Lord, if you don't go with us, if you're not in this thing, God, we're not going up. I'm not leading this people one other step, because I realize that without you, it's not possible. I will not go without God. Lord, I'm letting you know right now, I'm drawing a line in the sand right here and right now, Lord. I don't care that you're going to send an angel. I don't want just an angel helping us. Lord, I want your presence with us. And if you will not go up, then we're not going to go from hence. We're going to stay right here. Lord, I'm not moving unless you're moving. I'm not going unless you're going. I'm not doing unless you're doing. Without you, I won't go. See, there are a lot of places I could go and you could go, and a lot of things I could do and you could do, but if God is not in it, then we need to make up our minds. I ain't going. I ain't doing it. I will not be a part of it. Many people have failed and made mistakes because they are too quick to make decisions without knowing whether or not God is in it. All of a sudden, an opportunity comes. Maybe it's a career move, or maybe it's a choice, and they never seek the counsel of God. They never seek the counsel of the man of God in their life. They just decide to make a decision, and many times they fall headlong into a mess. Why? Because they never made a decision. If God's not in it, it doesn't matter how many figures they offer me. It doesn't matter how pretty the place is, or how convenient it is. If God's not in it, I'm not going. I will not go without God. I won't make this move. I won't do this thing. There is one confirmation that I seek above all others. There is one confirmation that I have to have if I'm going to make a step. It is, I've got to know it is the will of God. I've got to know that God is in it. I've got to know that God says, yes, that's what I want you to do, and I'll be with you. Or I will not go without God. See, people could avoid a lot of heartache if they would just seek the counsel of God before decisions are made. See, I've learned that I can face hard times. I can face difficult things. I can face setbacks. I can deal with dilemmas as long as I know God is in it. Because if I know God is in it, the setbacks really won't set me back at all. The dilemmas will really not be my destruction. I will know that God is in this. And if God is in this, it's all going to work out all right. I will not go without God. I will not make a decision without divine intervention saying yes or no. I want to know what thus saith the Lord. Are you going with me or not? Because if you're not going with me, I ain't going at all. I will not go without God. See, as long as I know that God is in it, I know that I'm doing what's best for me. As long as I know that God's there in it, I can face any problem. I can face any circumstance, because evidently God sees fit for me to go through it. And if God's there with me, I know I'm not going to fail. I'm not going to end up messed up. No, God's going to provide exactly what I need to make it through. And so I will not go without God. I say it this way. If God's not in it, I'm out. Say it again. If God's not in it, I'm out. There's a lot of things we choose to participate in. There's a lot of things we get involved in only to realize God wasn't in this at all. God didn't have anything to do with this. This is just a carnal decision, something my flesh decided to do. And oftentimes we end up messing up and making a mistake. And if we just simply got on our knees before God and said, Lord, is this something I should or shouldn't do? I need to know from you. I need an answer from you, because I will not go without you. I will not do without you, God. Moses said, God, if your presence is not going with us, and I'm not moving from here. Carry us not up thence, God. You see, everybody around me can be encouraging me to do so, but if not, God is saying, no, I ain't going. If God's not in it, I ain't going. I'm not being a part of it. I'll draw your attention to a story in the Bible. We know it well. The prior story we know even better. It's the one of Jericho. Joshua lead the people, the children of Israel, and they walking around the walls and doing as God has commanded and blowing the trumpets. They watch as the walls of that great city crumble before them. God had made a prerequisite. God had made a requirement that they take nothing from that city. He said, it is mine. It belongs to the Lord. Don't take any. There was a man by the name of Achan. We know the story that his eye fell on Babylonian garment and gold and silver, and so he took it and hid it in his tent. Joshua decides to take the people of God and go against the city of Ai, which is a small city in comparison. It's a little old city, and he sends some spies up to Ai, and they spy out the land, and they come back and they say, Josh, let's go, man. Matter of fact, let's just take a few with us. 2,000, maybe 3,000would be enough. We'll go, we'll whip them, won't be a problem. Man, we know what happened in Jericho. Just 2,000 or 3,000. Josh, let's go up. Joshua failed to do something. Joshua failed to fall upon his face and ask God, are you in it? God, is this what you want us to do? And the Bible lets us know. Joshua chapter 7 verse 12. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. And catch what the Lord says. Neither will I be with you any more. Joshua, you just got a taste of what it's like to go without me. Joshua, you've just been revealed. It's just been revealed unto you what it's like to go into battle without me. You see, with me, all you got to do is march around some walls and blow a trumpet, and walls will crumble. But without me, you're going to attack this little city and they're going to send you running. Joshua, you need to understand that unless you destroy this accursed thing, I will not be with you. I will not go up with you. And the Bible said Joshua fell upon his face. He realized, wait a second, I should have done this first. I should have come before you, God, and found out if you were in this. And I didn't. And now I realize I've made a mistake. I don't want to do this again. I don't want to go up unless you're with us, God. Because if you're not with us, we have no hope. You think about it. It's slaves, really. Not really warriors, not really men and women of war, if you will. They're just a bunch of slaves, and now they're going into lands that have been in war and have fought battles, and that's how they lived, and they took territory after territory, and they fought battle after battle, and now these bunch of slaves are going in to battle these nations and to take this promised land. And Joshua realized, wait a second, without God, we can't do anything. Without God, none of these cities will fall to us. Without God, even a small city like Ai will send us running and have us retreating. We need God, and so we've got to destroy this cursed thing among us. And many of us know the story. They cast lots, and they find that it is of the household of Achan. And the Bible says that they take Achan and his entire family, and they stoned them. They remove the cursed thing. Why? Because it's so important that God be with us. It's so important that we understand that God has to be with us, or we can do nothing. Oh, the words of that old song read true in my heart tonight. Without him, I could do nothing. Without him, I'd surely fail. Without him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. I will not go without God. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how trite the decision seems. It doesn't matter how small and maybe insignificant it is. I've got to be careful. I need to make sure God is in it. Because if God is not in it, I will not go. For I will not go without God. I am no match for the enemy without God. I am no match for the enemy on my own. It's amazing to me how many people who started out depending on God, who started out prayerfully considering decisions that were made, who started out coming before God and asking His counsel before they made decisions, before they did certain things or went certain places. Now all of a sudden they think they can do things on their own and without seeking the counsel of God and without spending time in prayer concerning the decision. And oh, I would to God that we would get back to an understanding that I will not go without God. And so I've got to make sure God is in it. I've got to spend some time in preparation and prayer saying, God, is this your will? Or is it not your will? Find out that many of the mighty men of God in the Bible find out that often they would go and they would inquire. David more than once said, go get the linen ephod. We got to go. We got to inquire of the Lord. We got to find out whether or not He's with us, because if He's not with us, we're not going. Lord, I need to know, shall I go up? Are you in it? See, sometimes I think that we're scared, if you will, to fleece the Lord because there's something wrong with it. No, I don't find that in the Bible. I find that finding out what the Lord has to say about it makes me know that my decision is safe and my decision is secure. And until I get an answer from God on whether or not He's in it, I don't make a move. For I will not go without God. Got to make sure He's in it. Moses said, listen, Lord, I can't do this. I won't do this. We won't get up from hence. We won't take another step unless you're leading, unless you're guiding. I would to God that we would realize the decisions we make in our life, the steps that we make, they must be positioned right, and prayer must come before it. We must get on our knees before God and say, Lord, are you in this? For I will not go without you. I won't make these decisions. See, I have learned and I continue to learn that God is my strength. God is my help. I am no match for the enemy on my own. My own mind and my own decision-making ability is suspect at best because He knows what's best for me. He knows what's good for me. I don't really know all that I need to know. And so I need to spend some time in the presence of the One who is all-knowing and say, God, how do you feel about this? God, do I do this or do I not do this? Make sure I'm going with God because I will not go without God. We find that the people of God, the children of Israel, once God said, all right, Moses, I will hearken unto your voice. I will do these things that you have said. The Bible lets us know that there was a pillar that would rest over top of the tabernacle. And when that pillar began to move, guess what? The people understood, wait a second, God's moving. God's saying it's time to go. God's saying it's time to pull up stakes and it's time to go where God says go. And so now it doesn't matter how inconvenient it is. It doesn't matter what else I've got going on in my life. I can't stay here if God decides to move. And I won't move if God decides to stay here. I will follow where God leads, and I will not go without God, without His presence leading me, without Him making it known what I need to do. How many times have people failed and messed up because they simply wouldn't take the time to get before God and say, Lord, are you in this? Lord, is this your will? Is this what you would have me to do? I'll tell you why Moses was such a great leader. Because Moses was a great follower of God. Paul, a great New Testament writer and one of the greatest evangelists of all time. Paul said this, follow me as I follow Christ. In other words, I won't go unless it's God. You can be okay in following me because I'm following God. Follow me as I follow Christ. But if I veer, if I contradict, how many religions and how many doctrines have erred because they refused to follow after the word of Lord because they thought they knew better and their ideas were better. And how many different religions and how many different doctrines do we have today that are leading people astray and they're not truly following after God simply because someone thought they knew better than the word of God. I would to God. God, that we would return to the pages of the Holy Writ and say, God, if it's not in your word, I don't want anything to do with it. Lord, if I can't find the principle and the precept on the pages of this word, then I don't want to be a part of it. Do ourselves a grave disservice when we start making concessions based upon our own perceptions. We start making compromises based upon how we perceive things to be or how society says or sets it up. No. I don't need society to tell me. Society's not going where God is. Society is going away from God. And so no matter what society says, if it doesn't fall in line with the word of God, I refuse to be a part of it. Why? Because what thus saith the word of the Lord matters more to me than what anybody else says. How people may encourage me and how they may try to get me to do things that on the surface may seem all right, but I need to make sure, wait a second, there may be something here that can trip me up. And so God, unless you're in it, God, unless you're a part of it, I'm not going. I will not go without God. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. Moses said, if you don't go with us, carry us not up from hence. We're not going. And then listen to his reasoning. It's in verse 16. He says, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Lord, if you don't go with us, how are we going to be known as your people? Lord, how is it going to be known that we've found grace in your sight? Lord, if you don't go with us, we're just going to be like all the other nations. We're just going to be like all the other people. God, if you don't go with us, wherein shall everybody know that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? How are others going to know that we're following your will in your way? If we're not in your will and in your way, how are others going to know? He said, is it not in that thou goest with us? In other words, Lord, the simple fact that you go with us displays to all the other nations that we are your people. Simple fact that you are among us, that your presence leads and guides us. Let others know that we are your people. So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. We say the scripture a lot, and it's true. Come out from among them, saith the Lord. Be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. See, many times I understand when I separate from this world is because I'm following after God. when I come out from among them and be separate. There should be noticeable differences in those that follow God and those that do not. Not just in the outward appearance, but in my behavior, in my manner of lifestyle, in my choices about what I do and what I'm involved in, what I participate in. I knew it was going to get tight. Why is it so important? Because I will not go without God. God's not in it. I understand. I'm a realist. I get it. We would all love to think that we're all spiritually minded all the time. Everything we do is in consideration of eternity, but it ain't. But I want more of it to be. I want to do more in the understanding of what's to come. What awaits me. Because yes, I know. Say it. Do we really understand that now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed? Lord, help me. I will not go without you. I will not do unless I know that you are in it and it's your will. I don't know why I believe God is speaking to someone tonight. You're wrestling with a decision. You're wondering. A shepherd of your life, as watchman in the wall, I encourage you. Don't go. Don't do it. Don't make the decision unless you know of a surety that God is in it. Huh. I will not go without God. I don't care how much it appeals to me. I don't care how much it's conducive. I don't care how much others try to encourage me to do so. Maybe even family members, maybe even loved ones who are trying me to get me to make these decisions. Lord, their confirmation is not what I seek. It's not them and their opinion that matters to me, Lord. It is what you say. And I will not go without you. I will not do it, Lord, unless I know you're in it and you say it's okay. That's the only way I can be assured that it's going to work out all right. Is if you're in it, Lord, I will not go without you. I will not go. I will not go without you. Why don't you lift your hands to the Lord right now? Help me, Lord, in the decisions of my life to make sure, God, those decisions are made, God, in your approval, that those decisions are brought before you, God, that there's dialogue between you and I, and together, Lord, we decide, and together you say, yes, this is what needs to happen in your life, for I will not go without you, God. Lord, I need to know. I won't become impatient. I wait upon you, Lord. I ain't leaving until you say it's time to go. And I will not go unless it's with you.
You are strong and mighty,
Lord.
what you have to say about it matters the most to me.
On you.
Reminded of a man in the Bible that made a grave error. He decided to do things on his own. Anointed by God as the first king of Israel, Saul decided that he would do some things on his own without God. Samuel, great prophet, man of God in his life, Saul's pastor, if you will, came into his life and said, "Samuel, you messed up. Made some choices on your own. Now God has rejected you. He's taken the kingdom from your hands and he's giving it to another." The Bible says from that day forward, Samuel interacted with Saul no more. Because Saul decided to do things on his own, to go without God. Skyrocketed towards the bottom. Now Saul is... One time he made the right decision. The Bible says that he cast out all the diviners, all those that worked in spirit of divination, and he cast them, the children of Israel. But catch this. Paul seeks the voice of his pastor so much that he disguises himself and he goes to a witch. He inquires with the witch and says, "Call up the spirit of Samuel. I have to hear my pastor." Oh, what lengths some people have gone and go to this day, still trying to hear the voice of their pastor because they made a decision to go somewhere without God. Lengths they go to now, trying to hear, trying to get counsel, trying to know what steps to take, and they participate in all sorts of stuff, and stuff that at one time they cast out of their life, now they're participating in again, trying to make right decisions. I will not go without God. I will not go without God. Lord Jesus, how wonderful are your words, God. Help me, Jesus, to make sure what I do, God, is in your will. I will not take steps, God, unless I know they are ordered in your word. I will not go without you. One more time, on you, lift your hands and lift your voice. Thank you for your word, God. Thank you. The power of the Holy Ghost you've ministered tonight, God. Your word is spoken. Hallelujah. Whatever it takes, God, to have a clear and concise answer from you, whatever amount of sacrifice, God, whatever importunity it has to cause for me to keep coming and asking, Lord, I want to receive word from you before I do. For I will not go.